space, light space, zest. That's God. So with him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one and nothing. When vandal horses ride down, ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. God holds me, head and shoulders, above all who try to pull me down. I'm headed for his place to offer anthems that will raise the roof. Already I'm singing God's songs. I'm making music to God. Listen, God, I'm calling at the top of my lungs. Be good to me, answer me. When my heart whispered, seek God, my whole being replied, I'm seeking him, don't hide from me now. You've always been right there for me. Don't turn your back on me now. Don't throw me out. Don't abandon me. You always kept the door open.
Thank you.
Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make come true what the prophet Isaiah had said. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea, on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, come with me, and I will teach you to catch people. At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boats with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom, and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness. Amen.
Jesus started preaching as soon as he came back from the desert and he had found out that John the Baptist was in prison. He went out and preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The promise of the kingdom was spoken by him. And the promise of the kingdom of heaven, which is the same as the kingdom of God, the promise of the kingdom of heaven is for everyone. And it is something that was clear already in the first century of the church, that the promise of the kingdom was not just for a select group of people behind closed doors. it was for everyone who had the ears to hear the words of Jesus. We read it in Acts 2, verse 39. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. In Romans 4, we read, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's children, not only to those who were born to him by law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. And that is the mystery, tells Paul. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3. That is the mystery. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are also heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. So the promise is for everybody. But some things are necessary. And the first of that is to see. We need to see the kingdom of heaven. It is like walking along in the morning. I have friends who live on the coast, and they just live close enough so that on a day off, I can get there in a couple of hours driving and get back. So when I set off really, really early in the morning, I like to aim to actually catch the sunrise whilst I take my dog for a walk along the seafront. So I set off really early, take the dog with me, get there before sunrise. And as I walk along the seafront, at some point I see the sky color red. And I turn around and see the beauty of this sunrise. We need to see and recognize that the kingdom of God is brought in by Jesus, that it is something that is life-giving, that it is something that perhaps we have seen in the lives of others and recognize it as something that we would like in our own lives. Perhaps we have noticed something about it, something of it, in our church or a church that we visited, in something that the people have done or said. Perhaps it is something that we recognize when we read the Bible and we feel the Spirit of God saying something to us. We need to see the kingdom of God, to be able to recognize it, to be able to do the next thing that comes and is necessary for us to be part of that kingdom, for us to receive that promise of that kingdom. And that next thing is to repent. And repent is a funny word, isn't it? It's a strange word. It means to be sorry. To say sorry for the things that have gone wrong. To say sorry for that, what we have messed up. But not just to say sorry. It is to be sorrowful. To really, really be cut to the heart about what is going on in our lives. How it turns it away, turns us away from God. How we are often so prone to walk our own way into a different direction than the way God wants us to walk. And so repent is, yeah, a strange word. And it means being sorry and being sorrowful, but it means even more than that. And what it means is going along a way. And when I repent, I stop going along this way and I turn around to go a different way. Repenting is not to just go on and carry on along the same way, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm such a mess up. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It's like, again, I'm sorry, I use a lot of illustrations from walking my dog, but in 40 Hall, there are a lot of little paths straight through the woods.
And my dog has great fun there because there are squirrels and all kinds of other dogs and anything she can chase. And I love it because you can always take a different route and never get bored. But there is one road and one little small way that not many people have discovered yet. And that's a dead end. And for the first couple of weeks, I kept walking that way and thought, oh, I'm here again, a dead end, I have to go back. At some point, I realized that is the road that leads to a dead end. It doesn't get me anywhere. And so before I get to the dead end, I know I have to turn left. That's what repenting is about. You realize and you recognize where things are going wrong. Where, if you like, you keep falling out of step with the Spirit. You repent. You turn around and you turn into a different direction. And you are at a point where if you get too cold, please go and get a coat. Or get, yeah? You get at a point where you hear what we read about in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Look it up at home. Please do. And write it over your door so you can read it whenever you go in and when you go out. And it says, whether you turn to the right, to the left, or to the... whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. That is what happens to people who have repented and have turned around to follow the way that Jesus calls them to do. And so, the first and the second point are very closely connected. We need to see and recognize that Jesus is the one who brings in the kingdom, the promise of the kingdom of heaven. We need to repent and turn towards him, towards that light and that love that Jesus is. And then, my third point, of course, comes from that, naturally. Because what would we do then? We would follow him. Would that not be the natural thing to do? When you see and recognize, when you turn towards, then follow. Let me just take you back to the image that I gave you about the earthquake, and we were all sitting here. Charlie was the one who saw the light. We all turned to see that same light. And when the rescue workers called us, we followed them out into a life of hope and of sunlight. Out of the cold, into the warmth. It's warmer outside than it is in here. What is it that Simon and Andrew, James and John, saw that day in Jesus? What is it that they did see in this man calling to them that made them leave their nets, their boats, their families, leave it all behind to follow him? What do we see in Jesus that for some of us make us leave behind everything without thinking too much and immediately follow Jesus? Now, I know that many of you say, well, you know, that's not for all of us. But I can tell you, it is for all of us. The promise of the kingdom of heaven is for all of us. We may all be called to different things. We may all be given different gifts. But the call to recognize Jesus as the heart of the kingdom of heaven, the need to repent and turn to him, and the call to follow him is for all of us. It is something to think about. Andrew and Simon, John and James,
left it all behind. Nothing could stop them from answering the call of this man. And it was life-changing for them, beyond anything we could ever imagine. Beyond anything they could ever imagine. And however they may have interpreted the words that Jesus said, come with me and I will teach you how to catch people. However they have understood those words in that moment, it must have been nothing like what they really would experience in the next 3 years or so. They walked day by day with the light of the world, turned towards him with their questions, their hopes, their dreams, with everything they desired, and with their weaknesses and shortcomings, with their failures. They turned to him day by day by day. They gave their life to him as they walked with him when he was here on the earth. And they continued to give their life to him once they knew him as the raised and risen and ascended Christ, the Messiah, the long-awaited anointed one from God. Nothing could hold them back. Even though they may have made big mistakes along the way. Remember James and John? They argued about who was going to sit at Jesus' right hand in heaven. Remember Peter? He made great statements about Christ. He failed deeply when he was crucified. But at the end, they stood for who they believed Jesus was. And at the end, they became great catchers of people. Not because they were so able in their own power, but because they kept walking with Christ and were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we know how many people they caught in their first catch on that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. 3,000 they caught. 3,000 they did catch for the kingdom of heaven. And they stayed faithful to that call, even until death. Even until they were persecuted for righteousness, because theirs was the promise of the kingdom of heaven. And that same promise is for us today too. Come and see the light of the world. Recognize him as the one who comes from God, bringing in the kingdom of heaven, bringing it in by giving himself in love to the world. Turn away from the cold existence of sin towards the warmth and the love of the Son of Righteousness. Warm yourself in the rays of his love. Be flooded by the heat of it and by the beauty of his forgiveness. Turn away from the cold path leading to death. And turn towards him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Follow him on the way he has set out for you. Follow him when he calls you and trust in his promise for you. It is the promise of the kingdom of heaven. Not in a far away distance or a far away life beyond this life, but already here. It's the realm where things that seem impossible become possible, where human rule has to end for the reign of God, where love takes the place of enmity and forgiveness the place of hate, where hope takes the place of fear and desperation, and where life in all its fullness comes about in Jesus Christ. The world is desperate to hear this message. Look around and see what is going on in our time and our day. There is a need for people who walk in darkness to see the light. You and I have been called by Jesus. We have the message to share. We have the opportunity to invite. And it only needs to be just one person who we ask to come with us to this event in July this year in the Emirates Stadium. Only one person for each of us. All we need to do is invite. Jay John is going to do most of the speaking for us. And God himself is the one who will do the work for us in the hearts of the people we are going to invite. See and recognize who is the one who brings in the kingdom of heaven and who has the power of this promise. Turn, repent of whatever you need to repent of and turn towards that light. And follow him in your own life, and as you do so, inviting others to come along with you.